Now, I'd like to take three short readings from the New Testament. The first you will find in Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. Verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." Now come over with me to the book of the Hebrews, and chapter 10. The epistle to the Hebrews, and chapter 10. And we will read together verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And finally, the book of the Acts, and chapter 13. Verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." This man receiveth sinners. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And then Acts chapter 13, "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." This man, the man Christ Jesus. Dear friends, we have no other to present in the gospel than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in preaching religion. We're not interested in proclaiming the ideas of men. We're here to tell you of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a Savior we have to tell of. Oh, the wonders of His person. We see Him moving amongst the sons of men. The Christ of God, the Lord from heaven, walking in the midst of fallen humanity, Himself holy, spotless and sinless. He could touch the leper and not contract defilement. He could move amongst fallen humanity and yet was untainted with sin. And here we see Him, and He is found amongst the publicans and sinners. The religious people of the day, they frowned upon the Lord Jesus Christ mingling with such company. And this is what they said: "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They spake those words in derision. Very interesting to go through your gospel and find the different things that the religious leaders said about the Lord Jesus Christ in derision. When He was upon the cross, they said He saved others. Himself He cannot save. And while those words were spoken in derision, they were containing the truth. And here we find them pointing the finger, accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of mingling with the publicans and sinners. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." My dear friend, I want to tell you, while these words were spoken by those proud Pharisees, spoken as a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, they contain the blessed truth that this man receiveth sinners. I'm glad He received sinners, because I was a sinner. And if He hadn't received sinners, I'd have been on the outside place forever. I want to tell you, dear friend, just as these words were true of the Lord Jesus Christ while upon earth, they are true this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ, this man that we present in the gospel, the Savior of the world, He receiveth sinners. Isn't that good? Oh, thank God. Thank God for the Christ of God who came into the world to save sinners. I want to tell you, dear friend, that takes us all in. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all need a Saviour. And the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive sinners. However great a sinner you may be, my blessed Lord is willing to receive you, my friend. There are religious sinners. There are others who have gone deep into sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive the repentant sinner. And he tells this lovely parable we have in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15 of the prodigal who went into the far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. But then the dear young man, he changed his mind and he returns and he receives forgiveness and a welcome. I want to tell you, friend, if you are prepared to do what the prodigal did, the Lord Jesus Christ will receive you this very evening. How glad we are to stand upon this platform and proclaim this wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. But then we read in Hebrews in chapter 10, this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The writer to the Hebrews is contrasting the Old Testament priests, those men who were set apart for the service of God. And remember, they had the only God-given religion in the world. And what they were doing in their religious duties, they were performing what Moses had directed them to in the Old Testament. What God had given Moses, he put it down in writing. And these who stood in the temple court, offering sacrifice after sacrifice, daily the smoke of those sacrifices ascended to heaven, but their work was never done. There was no day came when they could say, well, now that's sufficient. But in contrast to those priests of old who offered those sacrifices continually, the Word of God says this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I want to tell you, dear friend, one sacrifice was sufficient. The Lord Jesus Christ, yonder upon the cross, he laid down his life. He shed his precious blood. He bore sin's penalty. He fulfilled all the Old Testament types concerning himself. We have the burnt offering. We have the peace offering. We have the sin offering. We have the trespass offering. And they are all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What does that tell me? The work was finished. The work was done. God was absolutely satisfied. And that which all the Old Testament sacrifices could never do, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished upon the cross. The blood of bulls and of goats and all the other sacrifices that were offered, they could never take away sin. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. God was absolutely satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was none other could take our place, dear friend. None other was acceptable. Not the greatest prophet or the greatest apostle. Not the greatest patriarch. No, dear friend, why? Each one of those men, great and all as they may have been, they too had sinned, and they needed a sacrifice. They needed a Savior. And no man could by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Sinless One, the Spotless One, he offered himself without spot to God. And there upon the cross, he cried, "It is finished." I remember in hospital in my teens, I had opportunity to ask the priest after he had given the last rites to a man in the ward beside me. I said to him, "Tell me, sir, what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean when he said, 'It is finished'?" He said, "Well, his life was finished." I want to tell you, dear friends, there was more involved than that. In that tremendous cry upon the cross, "It is finished." The work was done. The price was paid. The wrath of God was exhausted. The throne of God had been vindicated. And God was absolutely satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, would you not be satisfied if God is satisfied? If there is one in the meeting tonight and you would really like to have this all-important question settled and know for certain that you'd be in heaven when life's journey is over, let me tell you, friend, all that you have to do is accept. All that you have to do is simply rest upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. You know, it's not the work of Christ plus my works. Oh, you say, "I know that." It's not the work of Christ plus my law keeping. You say, "Well, I'm quite clear about that." Friend, it's not the work of Christ plus your anxiety. It's not the work of Christ plus the amount of my believing. It's the work of Christ alone that says, "God does not look upon me as a sinner at all, for I have absolutely no merit, nothing to plead and no merits to claim, but just as a poor, lost, guilty sinner, I claim the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." I remember reading the story of the little lad who presented himself at one of the orphan homes. And as he stood before the dear man, he said, "Well, what have you to commend you, little fellow?" He was seeking admission to the home. "What have you to commend you?" "Well," he said, "I would have thought that these rags were sufficient." Dear friend, that's just all you need to do this evening. Come like that dear lad in all your need, with all your sin. You don't have to wait until you grow better, because if you wait till you grow better, you will never come. But just come in all your need. Come to Christ. "And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Listen, friend, this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. His work was done. He never needed to repeat that sacrifice again. There's absolutely sufficient in the work of Christ to meet your need, my friend, if only you are prepared to put in your claim. Oh, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he stood that day in Acts 13 and he addressed those dear men. He says that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. There is none other who can forgive sins than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died upon the cross, the one who shed his precious blood, the one who now sits at God's right hand. He alone can save. He alone can forgive your sins. And through this man is preached unto you. My friend, if there wasn't another individual in this building, only you this evening, this message is for you. Forget about everybody else. This is God's message for you, and unto you is preached through Christ the forgiveness of sins. Wouldn't you like to have your sins forgiven? Wouldn't you like to be in the enjoyment of this blessing? I tell you, I'll never forget the night that the burden rolled away and I found peace and rest. and was absolutely assured that my sins were gone. Why? Because Christ had borne my sins on his own body on the tree. And when the truth of it dawned upon my heart, the burden was gone. My friend, you don't have to wait for another meeting, but just tonight, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's willing to save you, willing to cleanse you, willing to put away your sins, for he has promised, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. If God doesn't remember them, why should I? You think that God would be pleased with me if after these years I come back and began to ask again for forgiveness? I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins on his own body on the tree. And having put my faith and trust in Christ alone, I know that my sins are gone. My fears are o'er. I shun God's presence now no more. And there is salvation and the forgiveness of sins offered to every individual in the meeting. Older friend, younger friend, men and women and boys and girls, every one of us could go out through the door tonight in the blessing of sins forgiven if only we are prepared to accept. Accept what? Tell me, if someone stopped you going out through the gate and asked you, how can I have my sins forgiven and be sure of heaven? I'm perfectly satisfied that most in the meeting would be able to tell them. Salvation is found alone in Christ. The forgiveness of sins is obtainable alone through faith. Not by working, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who died and lives again. Ah, dear friend, why not do like that dear man who was troubled because he felt he hadn't sufficient belief? And what did he say to the Lord? He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Why not do just that, dear friend? Why not trust the Savior? You may not feel that you have the amount of faith that it takes. I remember a dear friend of mine back in Ireland, and he told me, he said that verse came to him the night he got saved. If you have faith, even as a grain of mustard seed. He felt that he hadn't sufficient faith. It's not the amount of your faith, dear friend, that saves. Christ alone can save. And through the Lord Jesus Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. All you have to do is accept it. Trust my Savior. Rest upon the work he accomplished there upon Calvary. And just as God is satisfied, for the Lord Jesus Christ sits at God's right hand, and God demands no more. Just as God is satisfied, why not you? Thank God for everyone in the meeting tonight who has put their faith and trust in God's beloved Son, and who is absolutely satisfied that the work of Christ is sufficient to meet their need. Then, my friend, I put it to you this evening. Why not accept Christ and accept him now?